وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. جزاك الله خير حضرت مولانا سليم صاحب for all your beautiful du'as you make for the Ummah and for us as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower His choicest blessings on you. Ameen. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Inna azaba rabbika lawaqi' ma lahu min dafi'. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba, and Radio Al-Ansar International. Inshallah, today we are going to be discussing the life of Amirul Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala an. His name is Umar, his kunyat is Abu Hafs, and his title is Farooq. His father's name is Khattab, and his mother's name is Khatma. His lineage meets with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the eighth level with Ka'ab ibn Luwayy. Sayyidina Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was once performing Salat on one occasion and he came to this verse, Inna azaba rabbika lawaqi' ma lahu min dafi'. The punishment of your Lord is certain, there is none to repulse it. He was greatly affected by it, and he cried profusely, causing his eyes to become swollen. On another occasion he read, وَإِذَا أُلْقُوا مِنْهَا مَكَانًا ضَيِّقًا مُقَرَّنِينَ دَعَوْ هُنَالِكَ ثُبُورًا. When they are flung into a narrow space inside it, referring to hell, chained all together, they will call out for death there and then. He was so overcome by humility and submission that if a person who did not know him were to see him, he would think he was going to pass away in this state. The most glorious page from Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu's book of deeds was his love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the emulation of the Mubarak Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He always considered the example the excellent example of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his eating habits, in his clothing, in his appearance, and day-to-day activities. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam always led a life of poverty. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu did not abandon a life of poverty, even though after receiving the kingdoms of the Roman and Persian empires, and the great strides that Islam had made in conquering these kingdoms. It was his constant endeavor to always do exactly as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. What a great lesson there is for us in this year. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed two rakats of salah in Dhul Hulayfa on one occasion. When Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu passed that way, he would perform two rakats of salah. So someone asked him about it and he replied, I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performing salah here. His endeavor to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not confined to himself. Rather, he wanted every person's heart to be filled with the desire to follow the Mubarak sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu's blessed body never touched any soft clothes. His body was covered with a kurta with 12 patches, a torn turban on his head, and worn out sandals on his feet. This is how he would meet the envoys of the Roman and Persian empires. The extent of his contentment can be gauged from the fact that for several years during his khilafah, he did not take a single thing from the wealth of the Muslims, although he was living a life of abject poverty. On seeing his poverty and indigence, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum stipulated a salary for him, which should provide him with the most basic food and clothes. But he accepted only on the condition of using it if he needs it, and abstain from it once his financial position improves. Hazrat Sayyidina Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala anha, his daughter, heard of the arrival of booty, so she went to him and said, "O Amir al-Mu'mineen, give me my right which is due to me from this booty. I am from among the Dawil Qurba, the relatives." As Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, "O my beloved daughter, your right is over my personal wealth. This is booty from the spoils of war. I am disappointed with you. You have tried to deceive your father." So she felt ashamed and departed. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu's greatness, awe, and his imposing figure would cause the Persian and Roman kings to tremble at merely hearing his name. On the other hand, his humility and servitude were such that he would carry water skins on his shoulders and fill water for the widows. He would go into the markets to purchase the daily needs for the wives of those who had gone out for jihad. Mm-hmm. He would get exhausted after carrying out all these tasks, proceed to the masjid, and lie down in one corner on the dusty floor. He was the first person to be given the title of Amir al-Mu'mineen, the leader of the believers. His profound knowledge, immense intelligence, his abstinence, humility, kindness and justice to the Muslims, adherence to the truth, respect and intense emulation for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are all qualities which are unanimously acknowledged by the Ummah. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu sought Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's permission for Umrah on one occasion. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam granted him permission and said, "Brother, do not forget me in your du'as." Another narration states that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Include me in your du'as." This shows that we can also request du'as from our juniors. He used to go with a whip to the marketplace where the butchers used to sell their meat. If he saw a person purchasing meat for 2 consecutive days, he would whip him and say, "Why do you not starve your stomach a little for the sake of your neighbors and relatives?" In other words, bear a little pain by helping and feeding your neighbors and relatives so that they may enjoy some comfort as well. He said on one occasion, "Had I not feared the accounting of deeds, I would have asked for a sheep to be roasted for me in the oven." If he desired something which cost 1 dirham, he would defer purchasing it for 1 year. He climbed the pulpit on one occasion and said, "All thanks are due to Allah Ta'ala for not imposing any ruler over me." So the people asked him, "What is the reason for saying this?" And he replied, "To express my gratitude to Allah Ta'ala." And he climbed down from the pulpit. He used to say, "I wish I was a sheep so that people could cook me as they like, cut me into pieces, ate me, and got rid of me as excreta. I wish I was not a human." Whenever he passed by a rubbish dump, he would stand upright and say, "This is your world for which you are so greedy." He used to say, "It is far better to bear losses of this fleeting world than having to suffer losses in the hereafter." He would pick up a blade of grass and say, "I wish I was a blade of grass. I wish I was not born. I wish my mother had not given birth to me. I wish I was nothing. I wish I was completely forgotten." Now, the reason why he mentioned these particular words is perhaps reflecting on the ayah in the Noble Quran, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ, the one who has the fear of standing for accountability in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that would overtake him so much that he mentioned these things. He really enjoyed performing salah in the middle of the night. He would carry sacks of flour on his back and convey them to widows and orphans. If anyone offered to carry them for him, he would say, who is going to carry my sins on the day of resurrection? He sent the following edict to all of his governors. I consider salah to be the most important of all your tasks. The one who safeguards his salah has safeguarded his deen. The one who neglects his salah is more likely to neglect his other responsibilities. Dua remains suspended between the heavens and the earth until durur are sent to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He outlined the importance of durud upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this shows the merit and virtue of durud upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is why we must also give as much importance to it as possible. He also said the most superior worship is carrying out compulsory duties, abstaining from whatever is prohibited, and setting right one's intention with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu wrote to Hazrat Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala anhu saying, there are two types of patience over calamities, patience over giving up acts of disobedience. The second type is superior to the first, and it is the basis of Iman. Hazrat Amir al-Mu'mineen, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, considers patience over giving up disobedience superior to patience over calamities, because the former is extremely difficult. In fact, it is superior to patience and fortitude in doing good deeds. Mawlana Kamaluddin Zaman rahmatullah alayhi says that Hazrat Mawlana Muhammad Ahmad Saab rahmatullah alayhi used to say, doing good deeds is an accomplishment of the righteous Salihin, and giving up sins is an accomplishment of the truthful, the Siddiqeen. This proves the immense importance of abstaining from sins. Our Mashaykh also say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not question you why you haven't read your Tahajjud Salah. Although Tahajjud Salah is something we must strive for, it is very, very, very meritorious. But yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask us and take us to task regarding the commissioning of sins. He said the following in his last advice: do not be heedless of the book of Allah, the Noble Quran. As long as you follow it, you will not go astray. Do not display any shortcomings in honoring and respecting the Muhajirin. You will find many Muslims, but very few Muhajirin. Be considerate to the Ansar, because they are the support and refuge of Islam. Be mindful of the Bedouins, because they are your origins. Uphold the covenants and agreements which are made with the Zimmis, the non-Muslims living under the protection of the Islamic State. Glory be to Allah. Look at how we explain the rights of each group, even the non-Muslims. This advice ought to be written in gold. Some of his statements are that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not show mercy to the one who does not show mercy to others. He does not pardon the mistakes of the person who does not pardon others for their mistakes. He said, I am leaving two things for you. You will enjoy goodness for as long as they remain with you. Justice when making decisions. Equality in distribution. He also said, I am leaving you on a path which is marked out. If a person moves away from the marked out path, he will deviate from the right path. Three things will create love in your brother's heart for you. When you meet, you must be the first to offer salam. Address him by the names which he likes. Make place for him when he comes into an assembly. Glory be to Allah. These are the points we should take note of, and which are most worthy of emulating in order to establish love. When a person humbles himself for Allah's sake, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates him in wisdom. He considers himself to be worthless, but is highly respected by people. Another statement he said, the person who desires success in his life must maintain good relations with his father's friends after his death. Unfortunately, the exact opposite is happening today. When there is a general trend of ill-treating one's parents, there can be no question of good treatment of their friends. We seek refuge in Allah. He also made the following statement, do not remain aloof from the assemblies of the ulama. Allah Ta'ala did not create a more virtuous place than the assemblies of the ulama. Glory be to Allah. What an important statement from Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. The places of the ulama are the most superior, but free thinkers of today think differently. They probably consider the assemblies of the ulama to be the worst of all, so let alone not practicing on the advice of Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, they even think differently from him. How can Allah's mercy then descend upon us? Sit in the company of those who repent, because their hearts are very soft. By sitting in their company, your heart will also soften, and this will be a means of proximity and closeness to Allah Ta'ala. He used to make this dua a lot towards the end of his life. O Allah, bless me with shahadat martyrdom for your cause, and death in the city of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him both. He used to read this couplet towards the end. Zalumul li nafsi ghayra anni muslim, usalli salah kullaha wa asum. I have wronged myself, but I am a Muslim who performs all his salats and keeps fast. He performed salah even after he was injured and blood was flowing from his wound. He said, there is nothing in the deen of the person who misses his salah. I mean, this is the importance Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu gave to salah. During his final moments, he placed his face on the ground and said, destruction to Umar if his Allah does not pardon him his sins. Regarding his martyrdom, Abu Lu'lu al-Majusi attacked him while he was in the masjid, and he was injured on Wednesday, the 27th, Zulhijjah 23 AH, and passed away 5 days later on Sunday, the 1st of Muharram 24 AH, at the age of 63. Hazrat Suhaib radiallahu ta'ala anhu performed his janazah salat, and he was buried in the Rawdah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, next to Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala illuminate his graves. There's so much more to speak about Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, but this was just a short discussion to highlight to us the life of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an and his beautiful character. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to make amal. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.